Oh, hello there. This is not the Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Ellen, Jimmy Corden, or the Jimmy Kimmel Show. You're watching Valuetainment Presents The Right Show. I'm your host, Kayvon, and today we're going to cover the news for people who really don't like the news. It's not just a talk show. It's a support group for normal people. Today's topics, Derek Chauvin gets shanked, Argentina and the Netherlands get big election wins, and P. Diddy takes a huge loss. Take that, take that, take that. It's happening right here, right now, on The Right Show. Here we go. Question for today's episode. I want to know, where are you from? Please put it in the comments. And what is your favorite breed of dog? The reason I ask is because anyone who knows me knows I love boxers. I brought my boxer to the studio. Then we went and celebrated Thanksgiving with the family in Reno, Nevada. The dog's name is also Reno, and he looks a little something like this. Here he is in the airport subway system. And we got a little workout in the gym.
Jump up there, push it hard.
I taught him day one how to push the handicap button. He's never learned this before. Day two, he kind of knew that's what you're supposed to push. And check this out. By day three,
let's go.
No problem. Pow. Gotta love it. Cutie. And he's so happy when he figures out the tricks. There, he saw my poster that was up there in the casino. Silver Legacy, beautiful casino. We had a great time. And now check it out. Sold out shows thanks to Valuetainment. Working the crowd. Getting loud. And that's what it looked like. So, if you want to see a show, go on KayvonComedy.com and join us. We'd love to see you there. Now, speaking of boxers, not just the dogs, this gentleman decided that after a tough breakup with his girlfriend, she was being a little rude, he set his mom up in the octagon, to fight his ex-girlfriend. A lot of men might have thought of this, like, I can't do anything to her, that's a woman, but my mom can take you out. Watch this. Oh, man. And mom got some fights. She got some punches in there. Look at this. Trying to kick her mom. Oh! Eat that. Look at mom going in. So for those of you who were not able to watch, we have a lot of podcasters just listening. That was a mom who was 50 years old. The girlfriend was 19. The boyfriend was sick of the things she was saying on Facebook. And the boyfriend created a little fight ticket, mom versus the ex-girlfriend, and mom was not having it. So forget mama said knock you out. The son said knock you out, and the mom went ahead and complied. Now, Valuetainment does fun things all the time. They allowed me to hit the streets with my microphone and interview people. We call it Cave on the Street, and we found out, what do you think certain politicians would be doing if they weren't politicians? It's all in good fun. This week, we highlight Carrie Lake, the one running for governor of Arizona. Whether you're a fan or not, it's a lot of fun. Take a look. Carrie Lake, what would Carrie Lake be doing?
It looked like she would be a librarian.
Commercial for, like, L'Oreal.
Yeah, she has a pretty sparkle face.
She would own a bake shop and sell cupcakes, probably.
I don't know, probably like a cupcake store or something. A
babysitter.
She looked like a soccer mom.
I think Carrie Lake would probably be working at her cha-cha something.
Just a Karen.
Just a Karen.
Just a Karen.
Oh. Whining.
Greeting you when you walk into a women's clothing store.
I like that.
Sportscaster.
Oh, yeah.
Newscaster.
That'd be good.
No, like a Dollar Tree cashier.
Working at McDonald's. Not
it. That was so fun. I want to ask you right here, put it in the comments, what do you picture Carrie Lake doing if she wasn't a politician? The answers can be nice, mean, rude, everything in between. We don't care. We want to have a lot of fun. And it makes people check out the comments to see what was said. Moving right along, we have someone known as Rashida Tlaib. Now, they often say your beauty on the outside reflects what's on the inside. If that's the case, we're in trouble with Rashida. I want you guys to see this. She might be the most anti-American congresswoman we have. She's in a little group called The Squad, and I'm going to read this to you. Congressman Rashida Tlaib is reportedly an active member of an unlisted Facebook group that glamorizes Hamas and celebrates the October 7 attacks against Israel, according to a new report. The Michigan Democrat has been censured by the House last week for her rhetoric, but now they found out that she's actually part of a secret Facebook group defending Palestine and calling for an end to Israel. Now, is that acceptable? I want you to know that Israel is the ally of the United States of America. If you want to go by whose land is it, okay, well, the Jews predate Islam. Or if you want to go by whose land is it now, well, now the Jews have this little tiny piece of land, and the Muslims have 50 territories. They have 29 Muslim countries all over the world. So it's not like they're hurting for territory, and they're not the oppressed. 2 million Muslims, 20 to 40 million Jews in the world at the highest estimates. So the minority is the ones who have a little piece of land, and that's who Rashida supports. In fact, her and her group set up a pro-Palestine mob, and it clashed with Capitol Police right outside of the DNC headquarters. Now, you might know the DNC is more pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine than any other group in the country. Whenever there was a chance for Israel to get more funding or something, they're always a little hesitant because they see Palestine as the great victim and Israel as the great oppressor. So it's just interesting that there was a mob attack right outside of the DNC headquarters, and the Capitol Police had to get involved. There's fighting, there's shoving. I was told that when a bunch of peaceful protesters showed up and just toured the Capitol and walked out, this was worse than 9/11. This was an insurrection. This was going... We haven't heard anything about this. This might be the first time you see this footage. Take a look. Just as many people. Actual punches being thrown. Screaming. Forcing. In the face. Oh.
Get back, guys.
Aggressive. So... that's what it looked like. Notice no media outrage, no coverage. None of those people are going to jail. That was not called an insurrection. Nobody was shot like Ashley Babbitt. And mind you, those people do not like the West. Those people don't like America, and they're shoving our police. All the people that showed up on January 6th like the police. They support, they back the blue, and they just had a peaceful protest that was maligned. All right. Now, if you want to know anything, it's whenever you follow the left, it's probably on the wrong side, and that's how you know where you should go with your decision-making process. So I want to ask you right now, do you believe those Palestinians have a right, and the supporters of Palestine, to rush the Capitol, rush the DNC headquarters, and of course attack the police, or should they be in jail and on trial, and should the media also call that the worst attack since 9/11? Let me know in the comments. This is what we do, folks. Speaking of being on the wrong side of everything, Derek Chauvin. You might remember Derek. He was the one who had the unfortunate circumstance of having to be the fourth man on the scene to help arrest a little guy by the name of none other than George Floyd. If you follow the George Floyd thing, it's very, very controversial. Saying this would have got me banned about 2 years ago. Now they've backed off a little bit. I want you to know that Derek Chauvin had to arrest George Floyd. He was the fourth man at the scene. He didn't just show up because he heard there was a black guy at a market. And I want to read a tale of the tape before we get into the actual event. So it's going to look a little something like this. You have to pick who's your favorite. Chauvin, 5'9", 140 pounds. Born to a CPA father and a stay-at-home mom. He was in the Army Reserve. He did two stints in the military police, graduated with a bachelor's degree in law enforcement, joined the police force in 2000, received a Medal of Valor. He put his life in harm's way as he tackled a suspect who was holding a pistol, and he worked off-duty. He had two jobs, worked off-duty as a security guard at a nightclub. And that's Derek Chauvin for you, the one you're supposed to hate. The bad guy. Now let's go to the good guy, George Floyd, 6'4", 223 pounds of unemployed muscle. He lived in public housing. He had no father in his life. He was a rapper in Houston named Big Floyd. And the group he was in was called the Screwed Up Clique. He served 8 jail terms. Drug possession, theft, trespassing, arrested for aggravated robbery. He pointed a deadly weapon, a pistol, to a pregnant woman's stomach and demanded she tell all the boys where her valuables were as they searched for the items. So, whose side are you on so far? Well, the left will have you believe Derek Chauvin is the bad guy and George Floyd the hero. the righteous one. Now, we all know what happened that night, but a lot of you don't know the full arrest, so it went a little something like this. George Floyd had a baby, but on Monday night, he was in a car with his dealer doing powder with the homies instead of hanging with his beautiful 5-year-old daughter. He went into a Palestinian liquor store after 30 minutes to pass off a fake $20 bill. The owner of the Palestinian liquor store called 911. So this isn't really a racial issue because both of them are considered protected minorities. A black officer and an Asian came to arrest Floyd. Then backup came 20 minutes later. Floyd had COVID, if you care about that, but was still out in public during the pandemic. He also had swallowed his stash so as not to return to jail yet again. You got to swallow those crack rocks so that nobody finds them on your person. And he was put in a cop car peacefully after 24 minutes of sitting on a curb. He was saying he couldn't breathe the whole time. He demanded to be out of the cop car because he was claustrophobic, even though they pulled him out of a car that was even smaller than the cop car. "What do you want us to do?" they said. "Put me on the ground. Please put me on the ground. I can't breathe." They put him on the ground. And that's when the media started showing you cop on the ground with a knee on the shoulder and side of the neck. That was a hold that was in the police manual. But the leftist media made this all about race, as if George Floyd was a victim of racism because Chauvin wanted to just do this on camera. This was his goal of his life. We read that to you. Military police, bachelor's degree, Medal of Valor. But his whole goal, his whole life, was just to take this man and murder, not even accidentally arrest him the wrong way, which we could all argue that. I'll go with you there. But to murder callously in a racial way. Well, now the left feels justified that Chauvin has just been stabbed in prison. They said he had it coming to him. That's what he gets for taking down St. Floyd of Fentanyl and being such a horrible person. He had it coming. You should know this is all part of the planned destruction of our society. And if you cannot articulate all the different facts that I just did, then you don't know the whole story. Now you know. We'll be back with a whole lot more right after this. So when a Floyd situation happens, the cops have to back off across the nation because they don't want to get implicated by arresting someone the wrong way. You know how many things can go wrong when you're arresting a guy who's 6'4", 220 pounds? You don't know if he's going to be pleasant or violent. Well, guess what? Now people are doing all kinds of things because BLM says you make one mistake, you go to jail forever. That means criminals are having a field day in your community. Take a look at what this young lady did after getting out of her moving vehicle and just letting it ghost ride the whip. There she goes. And if you're just listening, she decided, I don't want to drive this car anymore. Kept it in drive, send it down the avenue. And into oncoming traffic. And it looked a little something like that. Luckily, the car didn't kill anyone that time. But this is common now. Some people are saying after looking into it that, well, she stole the car. It wasn't even hers anyway. So she got out of it and let it go. And other people say, that I'm a little too harsh when I say that was assault with a deadly weapon to all oncoming traffic. Whether she was successful or not is besides the point. But BLM will say she had a mental issue. She was going through a tough time and it's not her fault. The police need to stand down in that situation. Now, we're going to compare that to what else is going on. That's like a passive crime. Here is active crime. Two BLMers decide Amazon has all the gifts they need for this Christmas. They just have to get the driver out of the truck. Take a look. Now, this Amazon driver is being attacked. He doesn't know what's going on. They've opened the door. He decides to plow through the traffic. These two are pretty upset. They didn't get what they wanted. They jump back in the car. So I want you to pay attention. Both of those situations, you might need to protect yourself. You need to be off your phone and watching the road around you. I'm telling this to myself as well, because you never know what's going on these roads. It used to just be, oh, look out for a pedestrian, a bicyclist. Now you got to look out for what they did. They parked the white car in front of the Amazon, and then someone got out. As soon as someone gets out of a car, you better put your car in reverse or drive and think, am I going to have to, rob somebody, kill someone. What am I going to have to do? Because what they've been doing lately is like someone will rear-end you, you get out of your car to look at the damage, and they've already got the gun on you. So you might just drive to the nearest police station and say, I was rear-ended. It's just a car. It might cost you $5,000. Better to pay it than get robbed at point-blank range. I'm going to ask you over here, what was your favorite or least favorite video there? Is it Ghost riding the whip, letting it flow into traffic, or is it Amazon delivery theft? I'll tell you what, if these people keep stealing from the Amazon truck and from Walgreens and Walmart, pretty soon they're going to have to do all their shoplifting online. We'll be back with a whole lot more of The Right Show after this break. In a shocking turn of events, we have none other than Argentina, Javier Milei, with a victory for the right, and the stock market surges as well. If you haven't seen this guy, he is being called the Donald Trump of Argentina. He's got big bushy hair, he's bold, he says what needs to happen, because Argentina was a booming, beautiful country, and through lots of corruption, lots of taxing, and lots of socialism, it has gone downhill. This is going to be in Spanish, and normally I don't like to make you listen to Spanish. The subtitles are there, but what this guy says is so brilliant and so appropriate for what's going on in America that we're just going to have to listen to this beautiful language and watch how articulate a fine point he puts on it. Take a look.
What advice would you give to Americans having lived it?
Que nunca abracen las ideas del socialismo.
Never embrace the ideals
que nunca
of socialism.
Se dejen seducir por el
Don't
canto
be seduced
de las
by the siren song of social justice.
La justicia social. Que no se dejen
Don't
atrapar
get caught up
por
in those terrible concepts. That if you need something, derecho. You have a right to it.
Para eso hay que estar preparado y hay que dar
There
la
will be a cultural war every single day.
Día a día. Y
we have to be careful.
Hay que tener cuidado porque ellos no
the left has no problem with getting inside the state.
Adentro del Estado. Y aplicar
and
las
using
técnicas de Gramsci,
Gramsci's techniques,
seduciendo a artistas,
seducing the artists, seducing the movie stars,
cultura,
the culture,
seduciendo
and the media,
a los medios de comunicación,
and meddling in the educational content. We see that here.
Para que los socialistas no puedan avanzar,
don't allow socialism
si no lo
to make any advances.
Ellos se van a meter en el Estado y desde el Estado van a imponer una agenda que de largo plazo
and they will destroy everything
va a terminar destruyendo todo lo que toca. Si eso no se hace, los socialistas siempre van a seguir intentando. Como ellos intentan vivir de los demás sin trabajar,
the socialists will leech off of
others.
It is their tireless pursuit. So wherever there's healthy tissue, socialism creeps and feeds off of it. You get the artists, is what he said. You get the musicians, the movie stars, and the media, plus the educational system, to turn on your country. Bad ideas, promote them, and pretty soon you lose everything to socialism. Do you agree with Javier Milei? Did he hit the point? Did he hit the spot? Did he nail it? I think he did. In fact, that was him in a controlled, fun environment. But take a look here when he goes crazy.
Equipo y deporte, afuera. Ministerio de Cultura, afuera. Ministerio de Ambiente y Desarrollo Sostenible, afuera.
Out.
Ministerio de las Mujeres y
Women and Gender Study,
afuera.
Out.
Ministerio de Obras Públicas.
Ministry of Culture,
afuera,
Public Works.
Aunque te resistas. Ministerio de Ciencia y Tecnología e Innovación. Afuera. Ministerio de Trabajo, Empleo y Seguridad Social. Afuera. Ministerio de Educación. Adoctrinamiento. Afuera. Ministerio de Transporte. Afuera. Ministerio de Salud. Afuera. Ministerio de Desarrollo Social. Afuera. Se acabó el curro de la política.
I just want to give him a standing seated ovation right here from The Right Show. This is what we're talking about, folks. Someone who gets it right. That's a very Trumpian, young Trump. That's what he looks like, the young Latino Trump with crazy hair. But I'll tell you what, the message is clear. If your country gets bloated with radical left ideas, it costs a lot of money, it causes a lot of division, it causes a lot of upset people, citizens, and that's how you lose your nation. So he was saying, the Ministry of Science and Technology, we don't need it. We just need a basic country, basic taxes to cover the basic needs, and you gotta empower the people to bring you things. Would you want to go to a rental car company or a government transportation center? Which one gives you the better service? You got to do it that way. Now, it wasn't just Argentina. The Dutch had a big win as well. Look at this guy, Geert Wilders. Is that not the most European Trump-looking guy you've ever seen? He's been around for years, but He's Dutch from the Netherlands. They call him far right. He's really just moderate normal. But in Europe, anyone to the right of Stalin is considered far right. I'm going to read this. Dutch far right populist seeks to form government after a shock election victory. So he too will get a chance to abuela get rid of whatever those things are that his counterpart down in Argentina was doing. This is all very exciting. So what does this say about what's going to happen here in the United States for the election in 2024? Do you think Geert and Javier are predicting a Trump win, a Biden win, or will there be two different candidates that we're not even picturing right now? Let us know. We are going to read up on those comments as you put them in there. And until then, we have a creep of our own. We really need to get rid of this guy, but here he is. Joe Biden has done it again. He's creeping on little kids. Here, a little girl catches his eye. He has no reason to go talk to her. He's supposed to be giving a speech, but like a magnet, he's drawn to her, and he asks her if she's 17.
Thank you, and I love your ears. I love them. They're really cool. What's your name?
Catherine.
Catherine, what a beautiful name. That's my mommy's name. Well, nice to see. How old are you, 17?
That's what she said. Oh, hey, what are you doing here? Are you 17? I'm 6. Oh. And he went on to just mess around and talk to her and all this. And it's supposed to be cute. You know, back in Scranton in the 1970s, that's how you would be a politician. But he's been told by Nancy Pelosi. He's been told by the DNC. He's been told by Hillary Clinton. He's been told by the women, stop touching us. Stop sniffing us. Stop leaning into us and whispering. And he just can't do it because he can't remember. He just reverts into old 1970s Scranton Joe, kissing babies that don't want to be kissed. Very disgusting behavior indeed. By the way, just because she's 17, who cares? Okay, that's still illegal. Here is Joe Biden turning 81 years old. They put 81 candles on his cake and damn near burned the whole White House to the ground. Look at this. It looks like the portal of hell has opened and he's holding onto the table so as not to get sucked in. Hope you enjoyed that. We'll be back with more from The Right Show right after this. Somebody get the fire extinguisher. Sean P. Diddley Combs. Did he do it or did he not? He is being accused of diddling several women. This is not a surprise to many of you. Sean John has been canceled at Macy's because Diddy's money may be drying up after settling a court case with his first accuser. Her name is Cassie. She said for over a decade, he made life very difficult for her. My whole thing is, you're a grown woman. You're with a powerful man, but the door is there at all times. But, you know, she made it seem like she had no way she could get out. She was under lock and key, if you believe that. But then she went and settled for an undisclosed sum of money. So here's my thing. If a couple of people came in, they come in here and they shoot my coworkers, and that's still a crime, right? Well, if they go, well, Kayvon, we know you had to see that, and it was very, very hurtful to you. Here's $10 million. There's still some people who are dead here. There was a crime that was committed. You can't just give me $10 million and the state looks the other way. So why are they allowed? Why are these women allowed to do this, take the money, and then kind of let this just sweep it under the rug? Not sure, but as soon as these women found out that Diddy's opening up the checkbook and, you know, signing a few off, well, now here comes a whole flood of other women who just remembered they too have been attacked. Let's take a look. Sean Puffy Combs accused of sexual assault by a second woman. So, did Diddy diddle her or did Diddy not? Next, a third woman has come amidst sexual assault allegations that the music mogul is now denying. Poor Diddley. Now, do you think he told all those women to take that, take that, take that? Or do you think they're coming after his money? Do you think for these women it's all about the Benjamin's baby? It just might be. I'm going to read this to you. Singer Aaron Hall is also named in a different lawsuit. The woman identified as Jane Doe, accused Combs and Hall of assaulting her and her friend in the early 90s. What? In the early 90s? He was barely Sean Puffy back then. He went from Sean Combs to Puffy Combs to P. Diddles to Diddly Squat and then to Puff and back. So, I don't know. Maybe every time he changed a name, he diddled another. That could be what happened, but this happened in the 1990s, folks. This is 32 years later. Oh, she just remembered she was a victim. Let's ask you, do you think women should be allowed to come after you from 1990 and say you were guilty of something, or do you think, hey, you got to do it in the same year or two of when this stuff is happening so we can see some evidence and make sure it sticks? And finally, do you think these women are telling the truth? Believe all women? Or believe these women are all about the Benjamin's baby? That's what I want to know. Put it in the comments. We'll be back with a whole lot more right after this. Did your mom ever tell you to clean your room when you were a little kid? And if you didn't do it fast enough, she's like, go back. What's taking so long? Well, sorry, Mom. I'm not in the housekeeping Olympics. Turns out that's a real thing. Take a look at this little plaque. This is the housekeeping Olympics. I first saw this. I thought, is this some sort of a joke? Not at all. Here it is on the screen. Housekeeping Olympics is real, and it just happened in Las Vegas. And guess what? The Bellagio team won first place. This woman is in tears. She's so happy with her win. The different Olympic events for the housekeeping Olympics, all done in the Raider Stadium, are beautiful. If you want to see what they do, I'll show you right here. They're vacuuming a stretch of square in record time. Could you imagine if this is your talent? And as you can see, it's not about being the most fit competitor. It's not about muscles. It's not about looking like Arnold or getting strong. It's all about the dedication and the desire to vacuum that carpet. How about this event? A lot of people haven't heard of it. The bed making event. Now that is a king size bed, folks, and it's one person making it by themselves. I think the record time, 18 seconds. That's the bottom sheet, the fitted sheet, you know what I'm talking about? Then the other sheet with the fold, then the duvet in the comforter, put it on, fluff the pillows, leaving a mint right there. Hey, I'm going to go to the housekeeping Olympics, and I'm going to look for a little wife, if you know what I'm saying, because, yeah, baby. Let me ask, are those the competitors you like? I can get down with those housekeepers, because that would make a kind of woman you'd want to bring home to all your homes and introduce to mama. All right, folks, our final segment is none other than comedy, because sometimes the right show, which is supposed to be fun, you know, it's the news for people who hate the news, we get stuck in a rut talking about this negative stuff. And we need to end with a laugh. That is my commitment to you. If you subscribe, you make sure to follow, click the little bell to get alerts when this show goes live, then you too will end every show with a laughter and go back and seize the day. Take a look at this comedy clip. It's going viral. Every Monday I post a little short clip. I want you to see it. So if you like it, you can share it too.
Like food. When's the last time we worried about food? We expect food here. We have so much food, we don't even really eat American food that often. We're over it. We want other countries' food. We want to eat Chinese, Japanese, Indian, Vietnamese, Korean, Mongolian, Thai, Persian, Peruvian, Italian, French, Greek, Mexican, Colombian. We even have Ethiopian food here. And from what I understand, they don't have it there yet. We're eating their food before they get it. Like, give me that. We'll take that and see first. They should eat more of this. It's really good.
That was a Thanksgiving post. We did that on Monday right before the holiday started, and people were sharing it. I think got like 90,000 views in like 4 days, so that's a big win. But did you hear all the different food items I listed? It took me a while to memorize those. I was trying to think of all my favorite foods, plus foods that you know are very popular in the world of cuisine. So I said Chinese, Japanese, Indian, Vietnamese, Korean, Mongolian, Thai, Persian, Peruvian, Italian, French, Greek, Mexican, Colombian, Cuban, Jamaican, even Ethiopian. Tell me, which food did I miss? Was your food not represented in that? Let's go again. Chinese, Japanese, Indian, Vietnamese, Korean, Mongolian, Thai, Persian, Peruvian, Italian, French, Greek, Mexican, Colombian, Jamaican, Cuban, and even Ethiopian. Try saying that 10 times fast. Folks, that is The Right Show. We have fun. We tell the truth. through comedy. We are waking America up with laughter, and we want you to help join us on that mission. So click the share button. Tell your friends. We're here each and every week, and we go through all through the news here, these horrible stories, so you don't have to read them yourself, and we get through it in a fun way. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on The Right Show.